Good evening. It is a pleasure to be with you again. I welcome you with all my heart. I love you. All is well. Everything is unfolding as it should. While I was sitting in the silence, I somehow reverted to the days when I was in Aaron Shala. I usually do not discuss these things too much with people, but since it just came to me, I will so briefly touch the subject. I've been living in Ramana Ashram for about a year and a half. This was the end of 1948. I stayed with Arthur Osborne in his house. In those days, when foreigners came, they were put up with Arthur Osborne most of the time, without their own. And on one particular evening at about 4 o'clock, Sri Ramana walked into the cottage and he brought me a mango. He sat down on the stool in the corner of the room. I sat on the bed. We looked at each other and we smiled. He gave me one of these beautiful grins of his. And I know we should keep silent. We shouldn't say anything because there's nothing to say. But all the same, I asked him a question. I asked him, Ramana, what is more important? To be in the presence of a sage or to practice Atmavichara by yourself, self-inquiry. I already know the answer, but it seemed the right thing to do is to ask him the question. And he knew that I knew the answer. He waited a few seconds and smiled at me and he said, the sage is Atmavichara. The sage is a self, yourself. Therefore, when one is in the presence of a sage, all of a sudden is being done at an accelerating rate. Everything that has to be done is being done when one is in the presence of a true sage. So again I asked them, how come so many people have come to you and only certain people feel it? Some people feel nothing. Some people go away disappointed. And some people get all of their dreams fulfilled. Again, I knew the answer. So he waited a minute or so and he said, this depends on the maturity of the seeker. It depends on the sincerity of the seeker. As you can see, many people come here to visit me, to make a judgment, and then they go look for another teacher, they go somewhere else, they travel all through India, when they go back home to England or to Holland or to the United States, and they tell their friends they've seen, they have seen 10 sages, yet nothing has happened to them. But if one is sincere and surrenders totally to the sage, then the sage, the grace of the sage automatically is felt by this individual, and this individual makes a tremendous progress. But the person really has to be sincere. By sincere, he said, I mean, he has to be a devotee. To forget about him or herself, totally, completely, and merge in the sage. I then ask them another question. What is the easiest way and the most effective way to do atmavichara, self-inquiry? Again, he smiled, waited a few seconds, and he said, to always be aware consciously in all situations of the I Am. No matter what you're doing, no matter where you are, be aware of the I Am within your heart. This is the most effective practice. His head started shaking. I also asked him about this. Why do you have this weakness? I found out later his head was shaking for the last 40 years. He again explained to me that when he had his experience when he was 16 years old, it was like putting an elephant in a hut. What happens when you put an elephant in a hut? The hut shakes all over. It breaks to pieces. When he had his near-death experience, he told me, his body shook to pieces, as it were. It left him weak. This is interesting to remember. I asked him, why didn't this happen to me at that time? And he explained to me, because I had an experience, not of death, but of life, which was a little different. I asked him, what determines these experiences? He said, karma. I then left it alone. He walked with a cane, with a stick. This was 1949, he was very sick. That's how his body appeared. And his attendant came in. took him to the toilet. He was supposed to go about 4 o'clock when he left. Now, these things are very interesting, so we'll discuss them. When I say you have to be sincere, to make spiritual progress, I'm not speaking of sincerity as a longing or a wanting or a needing to become self-realized. In this case, sincerity means total honesty. Total humility. Total love. This is what sincerity means in this case. When you have total honesty, total love, you do not think of yourself any longer. You do not think about your problems or your humanhood or yourself in any way whatsoever. This doesn't matter. Try to understand this. It doesn't matter what situations you're going through in life, whether you're experiencing good or bad, riches or poverty, sickness or health. These things are totally irrelevant. The idea is to take your mind off yourself, your little self, off the I thought, and merge your mind with the I Am consciousness. Forget about your pettiness. Forget about your personal life. In truth, you have no personal life. You must always remember this. There is nothing personal about you. You're always so worried about your affairs, as if something can hurt you in this world. This world is the world of God. It is a spiritual world. Everything in this world is Brahman. How can Brahman hurt you? How can God cause you misery or pain? These things are the false I. You have, for some reason or another, become hypnotized into believing you have pain, you have lack, you have limitation, there's something wrong with you. This is an optical illusion. You do not really exist as a body at all. There is no body that you have to get rid of. Some of you are still meditating on the fact that you have to get rid of your body somehow. Some of you even believe and think that you'd like to so-called die to the body, so you can be free of it. This is a false premise. How can you be free of something that you never had? The body is an appearance like the world. Whose appearance? Nobody's appearance. But for some reason you've become attached to this thing called the body and to this manifest world. This is the only reason you suffer. Because of your attachment to the body and to the world. If you were not attached to your body or to the world, who would be left to suffer? It is the body that suffers. It is the body that goes through experiences. Not you. If only you can understand what I'm saying. And go deep within yourself. Beyond the body. Beyond the experiencer. Beyond the witness. Beyond everything. If you can only feel this, you would always be in bliss. Always. You would always be totally, completely, absolutely happy. For no reason whatsoever. Do not look to the world to solve your problems. Do not believe in the thing that if you change conditions, you will be better off. Some people believe that if it didn't work, they would be better off, they would be happy and peaceful and blissful. Some people believe they had a job that they liked. They will be blissful and happy. Everybody believes something else. All these beliefs are wrong. They're wrong because you're looking to a condition to make you happy. You're looking for an experience to give you peace. You're doing this again because you believe you are a body. There is no condition, there is no experience in this world that can bring you peace and happiness. For peace and happiness are your rightful nature. This is your natural state. It is only when you allow the mind to think and trouble begins. So the first step in spiritual life is learning to control your mind. You learn to control your mind by inquiring to whom does the mind come? This makes you realize that the mind comes to your body. It is part of your bodily process. But in truth, you have no mind. You are mindless. When you are mindless, you are Brahman. You are God. Where the mind is limited. You have to always go beyond the mind. You stop paying attention to your thoughts. Let the thoughts do what they will. Allow the thoughts to frighten you if they will. To tell you all kinds of stories, to tell you all kinds of things. Do not pay any attention. When you ignore, your minds will go away. The second step in spiritual progress is to develop a great humility. And humility means you do not judge people. You do not feel slighted if someone talks about you. Or tells you something rude. You do not get angry or upset. You just remain yourself. This sounds like a wimp. But the wimp is the person who believes in this world and sticks up for their rights. They're always defending themselves. What kind of a being can go through all that, go beyond it, and see the reality? A wimp cannot do that. A wimp is someone who's a coward in this world. But a person who's developed a tremendous humility has total love, forgiveness, and compassion for everything and everybody. Therefore, they do not have the slightest hint of retaliation or revenge or anger. For part of humility is realizing that there's only one self. You are the self of all. Of every person, every animal, every vegetable, every mineral. You are that self, all pervading. Therefore, you become angry with yourself. You take revenge on yourself. You hurt yourself. Learn to leave everything alone, especially yourself. Understand that when one door closes, another door opens. The universe is on your side. Life is on your side. Nothing is against you. always try to be cheerful. Do not tell people your troubles and your problems. But they've got their own. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. If you only became aware of the power that is within you, the universal essence, then all the gods that you've been worshipping will come to your aid and worship you. They will all be within you. When all these years you've been worshipping the Buddha or the Christ or Shiva or Krishna, all of these gods are really you. You are that. When you are happy, sure of yourself, then the gods become you, totally and completely. And you become a powerhouse of joy and love. You are already free. You are already liberated. There's nothing you need. There's nothing you have to become. Do not think about this. Just be it. You may think that you are in need of something, but who is really in need of something? The ego. And the ego has fears that they may lose something, or something may be taken away from them. If you could only understand the deep power you have, which will always take care of you and watch you and look over you and protect you, you have to learn to feel this in your heart. This is what Ramana meant when he said, always be aware of the I Am under all conditions. Be aware of I Am. Not I am this and I am that. Just I Am. The first name of God. When Moses was freeing the children of Israel from bondage in Egypt, and God spoke to him and told him to go to Egypt and set his people free, Moses inquired, well, who shall I say sent me? And God said, say I am that I am. Meaning the power of God is Moses himself, or anyone who utters this statement. This is to be a very sacred word, I am. But in this age, people use it very loosely. And they get so used to it that it has no meaning to them any longer. I am is almighty power. I am is God. I am is pure awareness, absolute reality. I am is. If you can only remember this and feel it in your heart, that's all you have to do. Feel the I am in your heart, and you will become totally free. Whatever you're doing during the day, whether you're working or washing dishes or driving the car, always say I am to yourself. And realize what you're saying. When you utter those syllables, I am, the whole universe becomes you. You awaken to the reality of life. Your true nature. The self. Do not believe or think that if you do this, you will lose interest in life, or lose interest in your husband or your wife or your family. My mother was a typical example of this. He would get up at 3 in the morning and chop vegetables with the cook, make breakfast for all the people in the ashram. He kept himself very active when he was able to. This shows you that you can be a yani and partake in the world also. When you think of a holy person, do not believe they have to live in a cave or in the jungle retreat. It so happens that Ramana went to Arunachala and stayed there all of his life. But he could have gone to the marketplace and worked. He could have been an engineer, a bookkeeper, a scientist, a garbage man. Realization does not make you into a babbling idiot. It makes you into a quiet idiot. It keeps you from talking too much. Your life is your responsibility. What are you going to do with the days you've got left on this earth? If you're interested in all of this thing of the world, when you realize you're subject to change continuously, you are foolish. all your so-called troubles, all of your affairs, the affairs of the world, the things that are going on in this world today, are all subject to change. Everything changes. Nothing's ever the same. Therefore, you become disillusioned. Total disillusion when you give yourself to the world. Surrender to the self. Become totally free. Do not fear this world any longer. Do not become bamboozled by the things you watch on TV. When you hear about the wars all over, man's humanity from to man. When you watch the TV, you see people getting killed all over this world. Realize what this world is. Maya. A cosmic joke. Illusion. An appearance. Like the water in the mirage. The more you dive within yourself, the more you'll be able to see the truth about this world. And you will laugh. Therefore, spend your time going into the I Am, into the self. If you want to solve your problems, do not think about your problems at all. Think of I Am. I Am is omniscience, all-pervading, omnipotence, omnipresent. I Am is God, absolute reality, peace. Therefore, when you really put your faith in the I Am, your whole world will change to perfection. Now let's practice the I Am meditation. Make yourself comfortable. And really feel this. This is what you should be doing by yourself. Close your eyes to remove obstructions. Focus your attention on your breath. Observe your breath, your respiration. Do not emphasize your breath. Breathe normally. Observe the feelings of your body. All the feelings that you have in your body. Observe them, watch them. You are now the witness of your thoughts and your bodily feelings. Do not try to stop your thoughts or change your thoughts. Just watch your thoughts. Remember, you are the witness. No matter what your celestial tell you, just watch them. Now ask yourself, what is the source of the witnessing? I am. With your respiration, dive deep within yourself as you say I am to yourself. As you inhale, you say I. As you exhale, you say am. With every breath of I am, feel yourself diving deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper within the self, within the heart. With every breath, with every I, with every am. You are going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Deeper than you've ever gone before. Transcending your thoughts and your bodily functions, your mind, your samskaras, your karma, it's all being transcended, it's all being transmuted. It is turning into nothingness. You are becoming absolutely free as you go deeper and deeper in as I am. Do it.
In the books that I've read about Ramana, there's not much about him saying things about witness kind of stuff. Did you hear him say stuff about
it? No, witness is usually from Buddhism, from Zen. It's a Zen tradition. But it's also a Hindu tradition in some aspects of Hinduism. He said to some people about witnessing. He mentioned it.
Yes.
He didn't give it too much credence. But he talked about it. He used words like to be aware. And then to witness. It's the same thing. You just use that terminology. In Buddhism, we use witnessing a lot. It's all the same. No questions, no prasad.
Yeah, I have a question.
I
remember back when I was in therapy, sometimes we try to analyze dreams. And the doctor would always insist that in the dream, there was nothing outside of me. Out of nothing, I appeared along with everything that was created and transpired in the dream. So there was a creator in the dream and a creation in the dream. And they're equal parts of one whole. So the creator and the creation are one. And when the dream is over, there's no more dream. Back to nothing. And of course, apparently in a dream, time is altogether also a creation, or is created in the dreamer. And it's a different type of time than we have in an individual experiences in the waking state. But it occurred to me that the waking state is really no different than the dream state. You want to comment on that?
Well, you know this is true already.
Sir?
You realize this is already true. We've discussed this many times. There is no dream state that is different than the waking state. They're both the same. The only difference is that the waking state is longer than the dream state. It appears to be like that. But in the dream state, you are asleep, and the dream is coming out of you. You are creating the whole universe. Everything comes out of you as a dream. It comes out of your mind. The same thing is happening in the waking state. This whole world, this whole universe, comes out of your mind. This is the reason we're told to transcend the mind, to kill the mind. When the mind is killed, the whole universe is also killed. With all the gods and the goddesses and the devils and everything else, including your body, it's all gone.
And you are awake. And
you are awake. You're truly awake. Just like in a dream. When you wake up from the dream, you're awake as you are today. But when you wake up from this dream, you'll be totally awake, you'll still be. You will not disappear. The real you will still exist.
For the yoni, there's observation even when there's nothing to be observed. In other words, there's a book called Conscious Immortality. And apparently it's the state of the yoni.
The yoni has nothing, is nothing, wants nothing.
He's no more an individual.
It has nothing to do with anything else. The yoni is complete nothingness.
Nothingness.
Yes. There are no more states of any kind for the yoni.
Transcended the whole Shivima.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Robert, he was talking about the sleeping state and the waking state. They apparently seem to be almost the same, or very similar, correct?
No, the sleeping state and the waking state are different.
Well, in the sleeping state, people have dreams, and in the waking state, they have illusions. So it's almost like, I mean, I think in the waking state, people walk around in a kind of a daze, and in sleep, they're just totally asleep.
When you are in the deep sleep state without dreaming, you are the self-unconscious. When you dream, you become the witness of the dream. In this waking state, you're also the witness. So there is a witness who is functioning while you're dreaming, while you're awake, and while you sleep, which is the I Am. The I Am exists as a witness. So when you're dreaming, when you're sleeping in deep sleep, and when you wake up to this state, they're all illusions. The I is the reality. Therefore, identify with the I, with the real I. And then the other three states will disappear and be free of them.
The witness state with me, it's I feel it, but then the regular, the ego comes in and it seems to be more predominant.
This
I go in and out of these states where I'm aware for a while, and then I'll get a lot of flurry of thoughts will come, and I'll have some problems I have to solve, and then I'll come back to the present moment.
That's how it is in the beginning. Simply observe it. Do not judge yourself. Continue going deep with them. And whatever happens, happens. But do not judge yourself or feel something is wrong or something is right.
What I wanted to ask you was about sleep. People, they look forward to sleep, to having a real deep sleep, and the more depressed they are, or at least in my case, the longer I want to sleep, I don't want to get up, or I look for sleep as kind of an escape.
Yes.
But there's a different kind of sleep that I experience. I sleep less, and I don't seem to get so much pleasure out of sleeping, or it's sort of a function you have to go through the rest of your body.
And when you wake up, you say, I slept well.
Sometimes.
When you sleep through it, when you do not dream. When you sleep continuously without dreaming, you get up and you feel refreshed. You feel good. This shows you that in deep sleep you were your original self, but to another body you were yourself. And it shows you the self always is happy. It's only when you become cognizant of the world that the problems begin.
So in the sleep, the waking state is mixed with the sleep state when you're dreaming?
The waking state?
Yeah.
The waking state has nothing to do with the deep sleep state. In the deep sleep state, you are not waking, you are not sleeping. You are in deep sleep. But it's not really a sleep. You are the self unconscious, the self without consciousness. When you awaken to the true self, to reality, you are the self with consciousness. But when you are in deep sleep, it gives you an idea how real awakening is. For you feel wonderful when you wake up from deep sleep. You say, I slept well, I feel wonderful. When you awaken from this dream, you'll be totally free of everything. You'll feel total happiness, total joy. Total liberation. But in the meanwhile, you're the witness to all three states. Just by thinking of that, gives you progress in your sadhana and your spiritual practice.
The awakened state is beyond the witness state.
Yes, of course. When you awaken, there's no more witness. There's nothing to witness. We are totally free.
It sounds to me kind of like the metaphor of Vishnu, the cosmic dreamer, dreams the universe and also dreams himself. It's kind of like a metaphor for all of us, all our consciousness. Is that kind of...
You can say this. You can say it's a metaphor. But it is you who think of a metaphor. It is the mind that thinks about a metaphor. And therefore, when you are in the true state, there's no longer any metaphor whatsoever. It's all finished. You are beyond metaphors, beyond waking, beyond sleeping, beyond dreaming. You have become all-pervading consciousness, emptiness, nothing. But while you're practicing, it appears to be like a metaphor. When you are awake, who is left to have a metaphor? When you wake up to reality, who is left to have a metaphor of any kind? It is the mind that compares. The mind that metaphorically sees something and says this is like this, this is like that. But when you awaken to your true self, there's nobody left. Nobody home. You're finished, cooked.
No more individuals.
Exactly. It's beautiful. It's not terrible, it's beautiful because you're totally free, totally liberated.
And I'm not inactive either.
You're not inactive, on the contrary. You do whatever your body came here to do.
Just directly.
But you're not attached to anything any longer. You're not looking for credit. You're not looking for anything. You're totally free and beyond everything.
Brenda might speak several languages. Well, she's Swedish, and she says that in Swedish we don't have a word for mind. That seems interesting.
That's interesting, I didn't know that.
What was the question?
In Sweden, they do not have a word for mind.
They don't have
a word. It's hard to believe.
It's hard to believe, yeah.
But she really is good with languages. So at least in some sense.
You're every human being in this world, if they're not enlightened, they have a mind. They have to think of their mind. Because what thinks?
I'm sure they have thoughts in the brain.
Of course. They might use a different name for it.
They just don't.
Well, all of Sweden would be enlightened.
They're not. Yeah.
So they must have a mind. They probably use a different word.
Transcending them rather than, you know, it's like peeling the onion, looking at more illusion that I have. Look at my false beliefs. Just, you know, just going through them all and finding that there's really nothing there. They're all false. All false beliefs. It's like living your life under a false pretense.
Yes, but you really don't have to go through all of your beliefs.
Yeah.
Simply drop everything and wake up. For whom is it tough? Do not use words like it's tough, or it's hard, or something is heavy. Yourself is pure. Yourself is absolute. And you are that right now. So identify with that. Not with the problems or trying to get rid of problems. Because there's a mind that tries to get rid of problems. Don't even transcend the problems. Because you're admitting there's problems that have to be transcended. The reality has no problems. Never had, never will. Therefore, there's nothing to transcend reality. And you are reality.
Robert, in the talk you said about surrendering your life to the guru, could you elaborate on that?
Not to the guru. The guru means teacher. We're talking about the sage, the yani.
Yes.
There's a difference. A sage to be a sage has to be omnipresent. A sage no longer is confined to a body, even though he or she may appear to look like a body. But the sage realizes and knows that they are not a body at all. So when one surrenders deeply, reverently, to the sage, they're really surrendering to themselves, because yourself and the sage's self is one. So when you truly surrender, you have humility, you have grace, because grace is the same as the sage, and it's all pervading. But you can only feel it when you come into conscious contact with the sage's grace by total humility and total surrender. Therefore, to the extent that you surrender, to that extent will you feel the grace. And this will lift you upward.
When you're implying like accepting the teaching, or really considering the teaching seriously and not resisting, so on.
You're always surrendering to something. Mm-hmm. Many people are surrendering to buying lotto tickets. Surrender to the house. The house worships you. You worship your house. Your car. The world. Your job. Whatever you feel deeply, that's surrender. So what we're saying here, and you surrender totally to the self, which is within yourself, the real you, the form of yourself as a sage. So when you surrender to a sage, you're not surrendering to a human being. You're surrendering to the self, to God, which is you. There's only one. And then all knowledge comes to you, all freedom comes to you, all liberation comes to you. Mary, would you read the yani? You always come prepared.
Always.
For a yogin who has realized the identity of his inner being with the infinite Brahman, there is no rebirth, no migration, not even liberation, for he is already liberated. He has firmly established in an experience of the absolute existence, knowledge, bliss, the Satchitananda Atman. The continued existence of the world and of his own body appears to the yogi only as an illusion, the appearance of which he cannot remove, but which cannot further deceive him till the time when, after the decease of the body, he wanders not forth but remains where he is and what he is and eternally was, the first principle of all beings and things, the original, eternal, pure, free Brahman. While living, and even when the body falls dead, the yogi rests in his own essential nature, his own svarupa, that is all full, all pure, timeless consciousness and bliss. The following assertions made by a yogi constitute his own deepest convictions and experience. I am infinite, imperishable, self-luminous, self-existent. I am beginningless, endless, decayless, birthless, deathless. Never was I born. I am ever free, perfect, independent. I alone am. I pervade the entire universe. I am all permeating and interpenetrating. I am supreme peace and freedom, absolute. A yogi lives forever. He has attained life everlasting. Cravings torture him not. Sins sting him not. Birth and death touch him not. He is free from all cravings and longings. He ever rests in his own Satchitananda Svarupa. He sees the one infinite self in all, and all in the infinite self, which is his being. He remains forever as the infinite self of consciousness. And
thank you, Mary. We have any announcements?
Yes. Thank you, Ben.
Oh. Let me say something first.
Mm-hmm.
I've had an unusually heavy amount of calls this month. So some of you have called me and I've not returned your call. Do not feel slighted. The call alone answers your question. Therefore, if you call me about a problem, the answer is already forthcoming. So keep calling. What's that, Sita?
Hi. We have some more transcripts to hand out to Xerox, and this is Return to the Source.
That's
a
song.
I particularly like this.
What number is that?
I bet number. I always have a little ticket here on the side that says, please make 10 copies or more. Thank you. That's number 80. So I have four more to hand out. No, always. Thank you. Thank you, guys. One more. Okay. get you next time. There's another one coming shortly.
Oh, you didn't marry it.
I'm sorry. Thank you. There's another one coming out Sunday, too.
And then we just bring in the 10 copies when you come.
Yes, please, and come on with you.
I'm going to type up a song, Return to the Source.
Return to the Source.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It just seemed to fit in right. We have transcripts on the table, and they are free of charge. And there are some in the box, of course. We would like you to Xerox those off if you take any out of the box, so that keeps it supplied for people coming in. But those on the table, you can take.
In this prasad time, you have any good little boys and girls, so you get your reward. Australian ginger, boy, I always buy this myself. This is good.